It is Saturday, March 20th, 2021. And before Quincy comes on or we get started with Quincy, I just want to let you guys know, again, the show believes in 6 degrees of separation. It has been proven over and over again since I've started this show that you are one person away, one advice away, one help away from where you need to be. I also let you know how I know the person that we're talking about. Before that, if you have opportunities or events that you want to be broadcast on the show, please let me know. Reach out to me on Facebook, which is Sunshine Kamela, K-A-M-E-L-A. The YouTube channel, which is Keeping It Real, Conversations with Sunshine. And let me know how I can help you. Quincy, are you here? So we're going to go on to let you guys know how I know Quincy. And really, this hasn't been a long, super, super relationship or anything like that. I actually, here we go with 6 degrees of separation. His Quincy Lewis is a fellow podcaster.
Yep.
And one of his co-hosts is actually my cousin by marriage.
Oh, that's how that worked.
Yeah, Paris is my husband's cousin, which I grew up with him as well, because we all were, my husband was my neighbor. So what? I know the whole, yes, I know the whole family.
Yeah.
So that's how that 6 degrees of separation. So, and then his other co-host, I actually went to high school with him.
Right, yeah, so you went to school with Monk. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, so again, small world.
Very.
And I got to talking to him about questions about podcasting, because when I first started talking to him, I wasn't doing this.
Right.
I was just, the idea was out there. It wasn't that I was actually walking in it yet.
Yeah.
And so I just, you know, I pop on a show because Mr. Quincy got like 50 million podcasts out here that he be doing.
Ain't got that many.
It shows.
We got about 5 though.
See what I'm saying? So, I had to get him on, and later I'll try to get his other host on to, because here I really believe in not just the 6 degrees of separation, but we're always one help away, one opportunity away from where you need to be. And
I agree.
With him, it was, you know, his host is, I think it was the Friday show, I want to say. He was talking about either Thursday or Friday. He was talking about all these things he's doing for outreach, really, for the kids to get taxes, learn how to do all of these things. So you don't have to wait until you're in your 20s, 30s to learn these things. You can start where you are now.
Right.
His host also does cooking.
For sure.
So,
yeah, shout out to my guy, Chef Monk. Chef to Your Doorstep, man. Make sure you check him out on IG and Facebook. Chef to Your Doorstep. He come right to your crib, cook right in the crib, or he can do catering. He can just bring the food to you.
So again, how the world is right now, I really believe in broadcasting positivity, especially with our Black men.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And so any opportunity that I have, it's not just women out here doing good things, it's men out here doing good things and taking care of their family.
Yes.
So we're going to change the narrative that the social media and the news put out here that we're not doing nothing. Or we all
right.
Stuck in jail, or, you know what I'm saying? We ain't walking down the street with our pants hanging out. All this stuff that
right.
Is not all what is cracked up to be.
So, yeah, we gotta change the perception. That's all.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So on the show that I'm usually on here, you know, popping in and making comments, they come up with the topic for the day.
Yep.
and you go ham from there. Now, I had to tell them, now I don't do all this cussing on my show.
Right.
Now, quit seeing them.
we get out of hand a little bit.
And I said, Jesus, I need you to fix Quincy mouth when he get on this show.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I know how to, I got the difference. I'm good.
All this cussing. So, Quincy.
Yep.
And if I'm not mistaken, you graduated from King, correct?
For sure. King Crusaders in the building, man. 97's hit squad. You know how we do it. I know you look like you. I know you went to Osborne, though. I was going to say, you had the cast face for a minute. I was about to say. I'm just saying. That was that because everybody from cast hate us. So I just figured that was that.
No. So I didn't go to King. I didn't go to CAS, but my sister.
Did you want to go to King though?
No. Actually, okay. To believe it or not, people probably don't believe me. But you know, back in the day, those were the elite schools in the city. CAS, King, Renaissance. You had to take a test in middle school,
right,
in order to get in, especially if it wasn't your school in your neighborhood.
Right.
I failed the test on purpose. Now I can hear you.
All right. Sorry about that. I got you back.
Okay. So I failed the test on purpose because I didn't want. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I failed it on purpose. I didn't want to be labeled as the nerd.
Hey, see, man, that's one of those narratives we got to change, too. It's cool. It's cool to be smart.
Yeah, I didn't think of it back then, you know. And I have been, I had an opportunity in elementary, I believe, to skip grades. I remember Bates Academy.
Oh yeah, for sure.
They had to start stealing
money or something, right?
Right. I had got invited to go to Bates Academy, but the year I was going, they had a flood of people, so they wasn't accepting anymore. And so I always been in that, you know, that arena, but I was just like, you know what?
Just didn't want to be labeled as that. I feel
so, yeah, I failed it. My mother and them knew I failed it.
Yeah.
So I end up, my school of choice was actually Denby.
Okay.
Because Denby and Osborne in different directions, about the same amount of.
Travel time.
Yeah, so. Everybody in my neighborhood was going to Denby.
Gotcha.
And I had one friend that went to Mary Wright. Everybody else went to Denby.
And damn, went to Mary Wright from the east side?
Yeah, I'm from the east side.
Damn, that's far.
What?
You said you went to Mary Wright coming from the east side?
No. I was saying one of my friends around the corner from me went to Mary Wright. I only had one friend that went to Mary Wright. Everybody else went to Denby.
Right, I'm saying, but like, why'd they go so far?
I think it was... Maybe their mom used to go there. And my mom graduated from Murray Wright.
I'm not traveling all the way to the west side to go to Murray Wright. Like, no, I'm just not doing it.
So I was going to go to Murray Wright because my mom went to Murray Wright. She was like, no. And you're not staying at Denby. And I'm like, wait, but this, you know, all my family went to Denby. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I got to, you know, represent. She's like, no. You're going to Osborne. I'm like, right. Why? My uncle worked there. So it's more eyes on.
Right, so he keep his eye on you.
And so she said, proven point. It took Denby a whole month to let my mom know that I hadn't been in school.
For real?
And she said, and that's what you wanted to go? I said, exactly. So,
right.
Yeah, I ended up going to Osborne.
And Osborne, like, I talk junk about Osborne because, you know, Monk on the show. We just be clowning around. But in real life, I don't have a problem with the school. Like, I couldn't go to Osborne because, like, I ain't never been good at school, right? So I didn't want to go there because all my homies went there, and I just figured I wasn't going to take school seriously.
Okay. So
that's the only reason I didn't go, for real.
Same thing with Denby.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to get caught up.
Yeah, pretty much. Osborne wasn't, I think the year I came in 92.
Okay.
And that particular year, Osborne was flooded with academics. Like that year, we were, they did something different with that class. Okay. Like it was so many people. And I don't know if it was, I wouldn't say rejects from the other schools, but we had so many, when I say intelligent people came in that year.
Yeah.
And what they
had like a, cause my sister graduated from there in 92. She graduated in 92.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, what'd you say? It was like the Omega program or something?
Yeah, like they tried to start, they were actually talking about turning Osborne into a magnet school.
Gotcha. Like, okay.
Casting them. And they tried to get us all to stay together the whole 4 years.
Yeah. That's how they was when she was there.
Yep. So they tried to make all of that whole class based off of testing or whatever.
Right.
All the elite or all was grouped together, and we were supposed to all stay together the whole 4 years. But yeah. Most of the time we did, but we wasn't around everybody else. And the only time we would see, you know, if we were in a gym class or lunch or something like that.
Right. And like I say, I always crack jokes, like I say, about Osborne only because of Monk and like all my homies went there. But in real life too, like that's also a narrative we gotta. Well, I ain't gonna say a narrative. It was two things. That's a narrative and an actual thing that we have to change about the Detroit public schools. Some of the Detroit public schools are terrible. Like I can't even lie to you, but some of them aren't. But they still got that stigma. So we gotta change that narrative, and we gotta change the actual schools too. Like it's gotta be some more. It's got to be some more infrastructural, I think that's probably the word I'm looking for, changes in the city's, like, education, for real. Because, like, they can tell you this, and it is kind of true, they are bringing a lot of jobs to the city. But unfortunately, if they're not educating the kids from the city to be able to get those jobs, then, like, what's the point?
That is true. So yeah. Now we're in a society that, even for a decent job, they want you to have college education. I'm like, right. What do you need this for the type? What you need? You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, huh? And so one thing that I have learned that, and I'm going to say on a point of regret,
mm-hmm.
that I didn't, even though I was intelligent in school, I didn't push myself.
Oh, yeah.
I had bad study habits. Because I felt like I knew it. I didn't really right. study. So when I went to the University of Michigan,
okay.
Oh, it showed.
Yeah.
I want to say everything I learned in high school in one class was my first semester.
Damn, that was it, huh?
That was it.
Yeah.
So I had to make a choice. Are you going to be in tutoring?
Right.
Or the other side of it, just drop this class?
Right.
So I tried it, and then I had to learn myself. From that point on, I had to go back and take a responsibility for myself. Like anybody that was in the class behind me, look, you don't want to go this route. Push your right. to teach you.
Yeah, for sure. And another thing, like you said about study habits, something I learned or I finally figured out. Is my study habits bad because I never learned how to take notes. Like my note taking skills are like terrible. And in real life, that's the most major part of any kind of school thing is being able to take notes. And like, if you downplay that, like it's going to be tough. So that my notes used to be horrible.
Retaining information. Like you said, note taking and learning, what is your learning style? Like for me, I don't like just audio.
Right.
So I have to have visual, I have to have both to right. retain the information and repetitive.
Yeah.
So now that you understand how you learn,
exactly.
This is the way you have to change everything for it to work for you.
Yeah, so now I see that's how they've adapted that style in corporate America now, where like in training courses, they figure out which group you belong to. Like if you more hands-on or do you need to hear it, you know, that kind of thing. And like if you can figure that out early on, that will make school so much better for a lot of people. But I don't think the schools don't have the resources or the personnel or the people they got at the schools aren't able to apply that. If they were able to do that, I think a lot of these kids would come out a lot better, you know what I'm saying, educationally.
I think if I go back to thinking of what classes really had some things like that, was more like chemistry. Your sciences basically had the hands-on.
I can't lie to you. I don't remember much of chemistry. Shout out to two young ladies. I won't put their names out there, but they basically got me through chemistry and qualitative analysis, which is like super chemistry. Like, so I don't really remember none of that because they kind of did my homework for me. So shout out to y'all if y'all listen.
I love the sciences. I was not good at math. I did enough math to get back.
How could you love chemistry and not love math? Because that's all it is. That's all that is math.
I never looked at it like science became like second nature to me. Like English was my number one.
Yeah.
Because I liked writing. I like reading. So that was number one. And then it was science, and then there was math.
So that's crazy though, because chemistry ain't nothing but math though. Like it's purely.
I never took it that way though. Science was like I could read it and know the answer without me studying. You know what I'm saying? Like that science made sense to me.
Yeah, it don't though to me. Like it's all math though. Like when you look at chemistry, it's formulas.
Yeah, formulas.
And it's algebra. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm straight on all of that. I was never good at math. And like, look, when I went to because I went to school for several years, almost like I was going to be a doctor or something. But my first year was at Eastern Michigan. I was like, you know what? I'm going to computer science. And then, like, I was too dumb to even get, like, what was that, Algebra 101. So I had to have, like, the 98 course or whatever, the one that don't even count towards graduation. And then I could barely get through that. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, none of this computer science thing is for me.
The truth be told, I had went, you remember DAPSEP, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So all through middle school, I was in, was I in elementary too? But I know for sure, middle school and some of high school, I went through DAPSEP the whole time. Again, science. I was going into computer engineering. I done did all these Saturdays going to these universities.
Right.
Taking all these courses and Upward Bound and all of this stuff.
Huh, Upward Bound.
Listen, and get to the University of Michigan, they talking about some, you know, go through your prerequisites and just the prerequisites.
Yeah.
I saw all that math. I was like, well, we're going to do the church finger. And,
excuse me. Right, excuse me, I gotta get out of here.
I gotta go. I can't do it. And so I was like, well, what's the second part of you that you can say can be a career for you? And it ended up being a teacher.
Okay.
But unfortunately, I never got a chance to finish. So I do my teaching basically out of experience and the things that I already know. As well as, you know, I take it upon myself to say, whatever I learned, the mistakes I learned, it's my duty to tell the generation after me.
Right.
Like, don't make the same mistakes that I did.
Just piggybacking off that, though, like, what you think you would do differently educationally, like, now knowing what you know?
I wouldn't necessarily go to a school because of the name.
Right. Facts. That's for sure.
I had a chance to go to Michigan State. I had a chance to go to Albion, even for not only academics, but I was going to be on a softball scholarship and didn't know where Albion was. I did not know Albion was.
Shout out to Albion because Adrian is where I went, so that's in their conference. So I ended up doing three years at Adrian.
So I went for friendship to the University of Michigan.
Gotcha.
They wasn't giving out a lot of money. I had more money scholarship wise going to somewhere else versus the University of Michigan.
Right.
Life lessons that I learned there, I had told this on a story before. The Ku Klux Klan was allowed to walk down the main street of our school.
Yeah. And Washtenaw, Michigan.
Well, that's close to Washtenaw.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's Ann Arbor, Ipsy.
Yeah, Ann Arbor. You know, yeah, I did that 1 year at Easter. You know, I know.
So, when I saw that, and that was in 96, and it brought to my knowledge, not that I never believed that slavery and all of these things happened, but I'm like, 1996? Y'all really walking down the street in the, you know, the whole garment, the sheet, the shotguns, like we got
to see that in person. Yeah, to see that in person had to do something too, because like obviously I've seen pictures and videos, I've never seen it with my own eyes though.
Listen, it changed my whole perspective of racism. And there it was an underlining, I think so, but I'm not sure.
Right.
And when I saw it, it was, I wanted to leave immediately. Like, I'm done. I'm not so much of my scared for my life, but I was like,
just don't want to deal with it.
An area where they allowed this to happen because you have a legal paper that says, this is my freedom of speech. I can do this. And I'm like, I got to go. And when I called, instead of calling my parents, I called my grandmother who, you know, at the time, y'all didn't live through this stuff.
Right. Facts.
And so I'm all like, grandma, you know, I'm hysterical. And she said, calm down. This is what you're not going to do.
Right. Right.
I said, but grandma, did you hear what I said? And she said, this is what you're not going to do. Because too many people lay down their life for you to be and have a right to be there. So while you're here in this space, this is what you're going to do.
Right.
And so
I'm that's the truth, like, though.
Pouting and mad.
Right. So
basically, an unsaid was told with all the Black people in those who were of another race, we all said without saying, don't get caught up.
Don't
walk around here, even with two people, don't walk around here thinking that this won't happen to you.
Right.
And you're going to assume that every white person really is out for you.
And you know what? That's a tough thing, because once you get that in your mind, it's a tough thing to erase. And the crazy thing about it though is, and I mentioned this before, and it's kind of it's off the subject, but not off the subject, I guess. But like we're talking about school and like just being on that campus, seeing all that stuff go on. And I just want to go back to something we talked about a few weeks ago about parents telling their kids basically that, you know, they're starting off at a deficit, you know what I'm saying? Like some people other than you got head starts on you. And we got into a conversation where we were saying like, should we stop telling our kids that? Cause like you're giving them the kind of the defeated attitude, you know, starting off. But I said that I understood where they was coming from. Cause like, yeah, if you come off with that mentality, then you always think you're behind. But at the end of the day, it's pretty much true. So like, do you not tell them the truth? Like that's almost like them telling you, like, you know, the KKK not active no more. But then you get a chance to look at them in their eyes, and so you know it's true. So it's like, what's worse, like being hidden from the truth, or like being told the truth up front? Because sometimes the truth up front will change your whole mindset, maybe good or bad. But then finding out on your own that this whole thing was kind of a lie is probably worse.
So I take it as, and this is why I have you on here, because you're always the, I would say, even the truth bearer, or you could be the devil's advocate.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
That's a whole thing of a whole real conversation that has to be told.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we always say, well, let's scare our kids into believing that there's a boogeyman.
Right.
Now, in all actuality, is there really a boogeyman?
Right. No.
Or we go with this. As kids, we always see the image of Santa Claus.
Yep.
Now, we know Santa Claus ain't real.
Right.
And where they got the idea of Santa Claus. But right. at the end of the day, we have portrayed that there really is a Santa Claus until sure. they get to a certain age. Like, let me tell you, I'm Santa right. Claus.
I'm Santa Claus.
Now, I had helped raise a little girl, my little Zion. And from the time she was able to understand, we told her that there was no Santa Claus.
Okay.
So she knew that where her gifts came from. So there was no letdown or disappointment that ever was raised in her because she knew the truth from babies. You know what right. I'm saying? So I would rather know the truth than assume. And then when it comes that this is not real or this is real, and I'm flabbergasted because basically I'm looking at you like you lied to me.
Right, exactly. So
it's coming from somebody I trusted.
Exactly. So that ended up being worse almost.
So yeah, don't do that.
That's just a tough like, one, man.
I'm going to tell y'all, there is no real Easter Bunny. Let me tell them again. Stop lying to your kids, telling them there's an Easter Bunny. Easter right. and the bunny has nothing to do with what the real cause is.
Facts. That's true.
Where did bunny come from and where did they get these eggs from?
Where did that whole story actually come from, though? Like, I'm not
I sure. don't know, but y'all need to stop lying.
Right, exactly.
When did Easter come about you? I thought yeah. Easter was about the resurrection. I'm just saying.
Supposed to be. Hey, I meant to tell you, too, before we got on, that, like, it be some people trying to watch. You know, you got to change your privacy thing to, like, everybody.
I thought it was.
No, because right now it's just showing, like, only people that from your friends list can watch. So I got some people trying to check in, but they can't see it.
On Facebook?
Yeah, on Facebook, yeah. Because y'all not friends. Like, we friends. But they can't see it because your privacy setting is on friends only.
Let me see if I can do this right now. Now, the crazy thing is I'm restreaming it.
Yeah, so you still like, even then, like when it pop up on your Facebook, you got to go to Facebook and hit that edit audience.
Uh-oh, where did you go?
See, that's why you reached out to me because I be knowing stuff.
Man, because I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, we go to your post and then hit edit audience and then it should give you the little world view. Okay. So everybody can see it.
So I'm going where on Facebook?
To you, where you posted it. So pull your post up that's showing your restream right now and then click edit audience.
Go to edit audience.
I got you. We're going to walk you through it. Producer of the year, I told you. Whenever you need my help, producer of the year right here.
I didn't even know this was a thing, okay? Okay, so see if they can see it now because I think I changed it.
Yeah, if you change it, you good. Yeah, I have to do that every time, and I don't know why it won't just stay set, but it don't.
I didn't know that. also, I know this is off topic. So the other day I had an idea that I wanted to put the show on iHeartRadio
yep.
and Spotify.
Gotcha.
So they were saying that you need the RSS feed.
Yep.
And I'm like, I don't know what that is. I tried to look it up. They gave me all this stuff, but it never showed me the actual link to it so I could actually put it on the other show. So I guess you got, if you're gonna have to tell me.
Where you you don't have no audio right now, like streaming nowhere?
Right now the show is
all video.
It should be audio and video. So it's I use Zoom, then Zoom restreams it off of the actual restream. Then it goes yeah. to like Facebook.
Yeah, but it don't go to It don't go to Spotify or iHeart and all that stuff, right?
Mm-mm, not right now. Mm-mm.
All
right,
so yeah, we just gotta hook you up. You can do the easiest one to use is Anchor. So Anchor is like Restream for audio, basically. So how Restream send everything to the video,
right?
Anchor send everything to the audio, and then that's where it creates your RSS feed.
Yeah, because I was like, can somebody help me? Because
I got you. All you gotta do is holler.
Like, we gotta get our audience number up. And I'm trying
yeah,
to.
Yeah, and that's gonna help. And then remembering to go on and click that edit audience every time. That's okay. Gonna help too, because people start clicking on it. But like, if they ain't your friend, it's gonna say that content unavailable. So then that's gonna take away your viewers. So you can have a whole bunch more viewers. You know what I'm saying? They're not connected with you, so they can't see it. But somebody else might share it, and they'd be like, "Dang, let me click on it," and then they can't even see it.
I did not know. And people would tell me, like, this content, you know, I'm like, wow, I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah, so that's what it is.
See, education is power.
For sure. Producer of the year, dog. Don't forget me.
I'm just saying, I did not know. So now mm-hmm. I know. And this is, again, segue into why it's important when we do have platforms like this to educate people. Not just behind you, but around you, because again, yeah, you sure. assume that somebody knows something just because they're doing it doesn't mean they really know.
That's true.
And that helps along the way of on every level. Like yeah. I used to fought the elderly for not telling us our generation was the real deal. Y'all held a lot of things in that I could have not wasted so many years bumping my head when there was actually a plan, a road out here to be like, okay, avoid this.
Well, you know, honestly too, I wanna say this. You don't wanna give them more credit than they deserve too. Some of our elders didn't have the information. Like, they just honestly didn't. They was kind of finding them, you know, their way too. And then what's different too about them. And I think us, and definitely different from the generation behind us, the whole work ethic thing is a completely different thing now. Like, you know, work ethic back there was you work for 45 years for the same company, take your pension and die. You know what I'm saying? Like, and we not on that right now. It's like we didn't figure it out. All right, you forced us to get this education, right? You made us get $60,000 in debt. So like, now I got this education. I don't want to work 40 years doing manufacturer work when I just paid $60,000 for all this knowledge that you told me was going to get me something else. And then the generation after us, they kind of like, well, I learned it on YouTube and I'm going to do it for myself. I don't have to go through nobody. So it's all transitioning to a different thing. So like, even us, it's not a lot that we can tell this next generation, because even our thing is different. But what we can tell them, though, I think that it was missing from our parents was a little bit of leniency, though. And that's just that you can be successful without doing the exact same thing I did, but you got to take some of the principles. Like, our parents were just kind of like, you need to do this because this is how we did it and this is how it worked.
Or else.
Right. You say what?
Or else.
Or, exactly. Right.
Or else.
Exactly.
And you so like, keep yeah. pushing the envelope. What's the or else? I'm curious.
And then you
gonna get smacked in your head.
Right. I ain't never pushed my envelope. I'm cool.
Listen, I tried it.
Yeah. Yeah, most women do that. Look, most women never stop trying. I'm about to push some buttons now. Most women never stop trying with their parents, their man, nothing else.
I don't it all depends. I'ma say this. Like, my mom was an RN for 23 years, 24 okay. years. So in my household, education was number one.
Yeah.
You're not about to play no sports. You're not about to do nothing you want to do without getting A's and B's. My mama didn't play no C's. Nothing lower than that. Oh, you ain't doing it. You ain't going nowhere. You're going to be on punishment for the whole summer. Okay?
I'd have been on punishment all summer at y'all house then.
Listen, my mama didn't play no games. And you better get it together. So my mom, in my era, it was the village. And that's what we really need to go back to.
Right.
Because my mom, my parents couldn't be around all the time. So we had people in our neighborhood who was like-minded. We all had different, you know, jobs. We all had whatever, but somebody was always outside watching. Somebody exactly. in the window. Somebody, you thought nobody was watching,
right?
But they was watching.
Yeah, it was a real community. And
yeah,
the crazy thing that's different now though with communities is that it's like, it's. I guess I can say it this way. I think it's too many renters. And what I mean by that is that, too many frequent renters. So that means that your neighbors are constantly changing.
Changing.
So you never get a chance to like actually have a community. That and then the flight from the city. So that means we moved to the suburbs. And I was telling Monk about that. I was like, I feel kind of bad for kids that move from the city to out to the burbs, only because out in the burbs, like, you can be in a cul-de-sac and never know who any of your residents are. So when they close the inside of schools, these kids ain't got no friends. Like, their friends was literally at school. So right. It's like, now you kind of cut off their whole social aspect because they don't even know who their next door neighbor is. So.
That's true. I never thought about it that way. And too, a lot of our community was family.
True.
We had somebody, a cousin, somebody that lived a couple of blocks around from
yes.
us.
Yes. Yes.
Listen, you try me if you want to. Hold up. Right. Mama is over here.
Right. No, that's true.
You gonna get your, you know.
For sure. Yeah.
So it was a different era, and I missed that. Even as an adult, I really missed. Somebody on the corner with the penny candy, making their money back then.
Right.
Looking out for the family. Back then, you know, I could go down, my mom would go down, go two houses over to Miss such and such house, borrow a cup of sugar.
Yeah. Yeah, we had, it was just a better community. You know, just a better community. I guess that's the only word I can use for real.
And nobody had the attitude that I was better than you. Even if you had, you know, the plant workers, everybody didn't work in the same thing or same genre of job.
Right. But
it was, help me out and I'll help you out.
Yeah.
And when it became a selfish community.
Right.
It's me and mine.
Yeah.
And then the whole, I'm going to say this now, as a female,
mm-hmm.
you knew when adult guys were looking at you. Let me say that one more time.
Right.
You knew that you had guys that they had an opportunity and they were a lot older than you. They would try you. Now is, you know, the pedophiles and all of this stuff have, they're right next door to you.
True.
And now we have to re-educate our kids that it's not just the girls they after, it's the boys too.
Right.
And so one thing I did learn also that sometimes danger is right there. You thinking it's going to be at the gas station, you walk into the store, and it's the person next door.
It's the person in your house. Look, we gonna talk about it. Let's talk about it. You feel me? It's the person in your house. Hey, but look though, I don't wanna make this all dark or nothing, right?
It's
not. I don't wanna shift it to like a different place, but something that's odd to me, and obviously you being a woman, you can comment on this, but like, as I got older, it's almost uncomfortable how many women I know who have been either molested or sexually abused at some point in their lives. It's like, I'm sorry. Like, I honestly didn't understand that this was such an issue. And it always be, how we talk about people next door, it be people at the crib.
In the crib.
Family members.
Family.
Bro,
because so. I would I handed on to this be careful. I think I did it in a rap or something I wrote, but it be careful of the ones you think are or you trust.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, like my father used to pull me to the side because I was developed at a younger age.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be like, don't get caught up by yourself with X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
If your father was there in the home.
Right.
And if he had, you know, my father was the father figure in our neighborhood, one of them. We had plenty of fathers. But if he says, such and such friend of this friend,
yeah,
stay away from them.
Because he knows something ain't right about them.
Something ain't right. When you walk in a room and they doing this patting of the feet, and wait, what's all this noise about? You know what I'm saying?
Talking like, about you sure have grown up.
What you mean? You wait. Or you see them years later, they was like, man, if I could have got you back, wait a minute.
Right. That'd be really happening. That's crazy.
You nasty. Like, we know, you know, even with the, we used to call them winos. The drunk,
right. Winos.
The drunks that used to be at the, right there at the store.
Yeah.
As soon as you come in.
Uh-huh.
Hey, baby, what? Stop
right.
it.
And right, you 14.
That wouldn't understand, no.
Yeah.
So just think if it was at the opportune time for them,
mm-hmm.
how many girls were raped? How many girls got pulled in the alley?
And not just that, like being forced into things, though, but also I've encountered quite a few women who have openly said that at 15 they had a 22-year-old boyfriend.
Yep.
Where is this acceptable though? Like, how is this happening? Like at 22, like you legit been out of high school for 4 years.
I'm gonna put my own business out there. Now, 15, 16, I was doing stuff I wasn't supposed to.
Uh-oh.
Even with somebody that it was consensual. He was 18 at the time.
Okay.
But tried to get him arrested.
Word? That's all cold.
And it's all, I'm just saying, it's all, you know, how they were raised. Or, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, my mama didn't play that. Even with me trying to have somebody to go to prom with me, that right. was, I was 17, 18 then. Mm-hmm. I wanted somebody who was just like 23, 24. My mom was like, no.
Hell no. But that's...
I'm 18, so... And then she go off of the mindset that you are at a younger age versus somebody who's older. You know, you get the games played on you or you prostituting yourself. Let me tell you, most prostitutes don't all walk the street.
For sure. For sure, yeah, I know that.
So all prostitutes. So all what you're doing is you're giving goods for an exchange for something else.
Right.
So you learn this at a younger age. So now as an older adult, this is what you're looking for. You ain't looking for no mate.
Exactly.
You're not looking for that. You looking for the handout. Let me go ahead and hook you up so I can get what I want.
Right. And even with that being said, that's not even always monetary either though. Like it can just be in exchange for what you think love is. And look, this is a whole off the subject too, but like that's how my mind works. The other day, I just got a chance to watch America versus Billie Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So I had never seen it, and I wasn't really hip to her whole story. But like with her, it was just like she had been raped at an early age, and she just really didn't have a real concept of what love was. So she would basically trade her body to these dudes who she thought was giving her love. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, it can go so left.
So many ways.
Yeah, it can go so left, like, by accident, not even knowing.
Not knowing. Even into the point of having an accepting abusive relationship.
Right.
Which is even on a whole nother scary idea or scary thought, because you think love looks like this, and it doesn't. Love is not going to hurt you. Love is not going to make you do things that is out the way, out the pocket. That's not love.
Right.
And because you have started something at a younger age and no one ever corrected you, no one ever told you anything else, how can you expect something better when you don't know or you never experienced? You think exactly. It's a fairy tale.
Exactly. Like, which brings me back to what our question was last week. How is it, or this is one of the weeks, I don't remember. I smoke a little bit, so I'll be forgetting. But it was, and this can go for females and males. So like, I think we originally started asking about women, like how women who haven't actually had experiences with quote unquote real men, and then they still try to convince another dude that they dating what a real man is when they don't even actually have a notion of what it is. And I say that, you know, conversely too. So for dudes too, who never really experienced like a real woman, like a woman who was handling her business or taking care of the family or things like that. But then he expect the woman he with to do all these things that he just basically made up in his mind supposed to be what a woman does. Like, how do you ever get past that though? Like, if you had some bad experiences and you trying to, of course you want to build something healthy, but like you really don't have a stature to equate it to. So like, how you even do that?
I'm gonna say,
right. I know, right?
The crazy thing is, I know we say, you know, everything is God this, God that, but it really has to be on that level. Like, especially when you didn't see it growing up. Blessings on my household that I didn't see abuse. I didn't experience that with my parents. My parents were together until death, literally.
Oh, okay.
I saw, we would call it, you know, the middle class.
Right.
Striving to be more. So I saw it with other people. I saw it in other family members. I seen it, you know, like you take a little bit of here and there, even in the fairy tale world, like the Huxtables, that different world and all right. these things, and be like, okay, I'm going to take from here and I'm going to take from here and I'm going to paste it all together. And hopefully my collage, because basically
come out to something good.
Something good. Right. You live and learn.
Yeah.
Honestly, you live and learn. Even in when, as they say, where's your integrity at? Where's your character at? Right. What are you doing and what's in you attracting this type of person?
Right.
Best believe if you was a banker on Wall Street, it's certain people that's just not going to approach you.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's not on your face. Is, you know what I'm saying? Is after a while, somebody told me, if you are a married woman, a real married woman on all right. levels, nobody's about to approach you because it's just the way you carry yourself. You carry yourself like you belong to somebody.
Right. That's the truth, though. That's the truth.
So people know, and it's who they're attracting. And so, you know, when you come from, I guess, me and superheroes.
Right.
The Justice League. It takes everybody in the Justice League to do their part in order for us to conquer.
True.
Period.
That's a good analogy.
So everybody can't be Wonder Woman. Everybody can't be a Batman. Everybody can't be Superman. You have to do your part. So right. it takes from everybody, every experience that you have experienced in life to become who you are, period. Like even this connection that we have today, it came from a 6 degree of separation, but it was now needed for what I need to know. Now, not just a give and take, but this is also promoting you as the black man that's being successful, the black man who's got award-winning shows for podcasting.
For sure, producer of the year.
Might have came from the city, but yet and still, he's still represented. So this is my job as on the podcasting level to broadcast on my show that we are all out here doing something good. All out here in the background just smoking and getting high, drinking, and this is all I do every day.
Right. Although I do partake in both of those.
Hush. I'm just saying that's not just you. You have something else to say of substance. Like if your show was all about just doing that, some people you're limited on a certain level.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But if you can have a decent conversation and I can go into any room regardless and speak, oh, you a game changer.
Oh yeah, for sure. And that's my whole, that's always been my outlook on things, man. Just a real quick, because I know I done held you for an hour already, but I did an internship my junior year in college at Black Enterprise. So I got a chance to meet Earl Graves, senior, you know, and he was a publisher at the time. And I remember when we got there, he was on a phone call with the mayor from Atlanta then. I can't remember his name, but like that was his homie though, right? So like he on the phone with him on speakerphone, he introducing us to them. And so I'm talking to the dude, you know, the mayor from Atlanta, and like this is man's, like he giving us game, right? So everybody was kind of chilling, like they ain't really know what to say. So I start rapping. So we talking, you know what I'm saying? So then the one thing he told me though, and it's something that stuck with me for a long time, and I want to say it might even be in his book, but he told me that when you start networking and meeting people, like you have to start holding those people accountable. So like when you talk to people and they pump fake you and say, oh yeah, whenever you need something, you know, holler at me or whatever. He like, hold those people accountable.
Right, holler
at them. If they say they're going to help you, then reach back out and be like, hey, remember you had said, because he was like, that way you will weed out the ones who actually, you know, there to help out and the ones who just in the way. Like you can weed them out perfectly. So I was like, no, I took that with me every time. So when I meet people now and I make it my point to not say that if I ain't gonna help. Like I ain't gonna say, like, you know, holler at me if you need some help. Like if I don't wanna help you, I'm not even gonna say that. I'm just saying, hey, nice to meet you. And I'm gonna keep it moving.
I will say, I know we have to get off in a minute because I got, you know.
Right, you got some other people. But, hey, look, they wait though, they like, what you get done with him?
But at the end of the day, I appreciate you. You didn't have to do anything. You didn't even have to take the request. And like I said, I haven't known you for a long time, but I feel like I've known you. And like I said, the 6 degrees of separation is really a real thing. Even on going forward, of course I'm gonna have y'all on the show again, because at the end of the day, I need you just like you need me.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
So, even taking a, we could talk about any and everything. We could talk for hours because of the experience that we have. But exactly. I just wanted to broadcast out to our people that it's people out here of all ages doing their thing. And it's not, it might not be necessarily for you, but they have some decent conversations. Like I said, they might come across at a whole nother level. Like I might say something, but it's still a real conversation.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I said, God, please keep Quincy mouth. Please, Lord Jesus.
Oh yeah, it's loose. It's very loose. But like I know how to tame it. So like I knew I was coming on this show. I was like, I'm gonna use my Sunday morning voice.
So I'm like, thank you so much again. He's out of town doing this, okay?
He could be
like, you know, we could reschedule. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
nah. He was just like, no, nah, I'm gonna take my stuff with me and we still gonna get down. And so
I took it with me. So and yeah, you're right. We out of town. So shout out to Charlotte, man. We didn't turn it up since yesterday. I brought all my stuff though. So to do this interview, and I brought my camera equipment because I actually am shooting some pictures out here. That's one of the reasons we came out here. So I'm on vacation, but I'm always working though.
That's what's up. I'm for sure with the little knowledge that I got today, work on that. Afterwards, when you get back in town, we'll work on the RSS feed. So I can get my stuff out here, do a little bit something, we'll launch out into the deep. And that's a whole nother subject in itself. But again, thank you so much for taking the time out to swing through the show. And we talked about any and everything, but it wasn't, you know.
Oh, for sure, man. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And real quick before I get out of here, I got to give a shout out to my whole squad, dog. Shout out to the E-Block Radio Podcast Network. That's my homies, Monk Money. Let me see, Angry Man. Then I got the Shy Versus Everybody Podcast, Cannabis Analyst with Classic Pothead. My other show, the Beers, Bourbon, Whiskey Podcast. Shout out to my man, Bo, Angry Principal. And that's it, man. Shout out to my whole squad, though. You know what I'm talking about? E-Block Radio. Make sure you check us out every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, eblockradio.com. Man, you already know what it is. It's your boy, Q Lewis, holding it down live from the 48205, man. That's the red zone. Y'all know where it's at.
All right. See you soon.
Peace out, love.
All right. Bye. Thank you.